Kevin Ayaka, on page Ayin Gimel. The last year we were talking about, I think I was ranting about, might have happened to that year at this even. It's in the Geniza. They're working on it. So we were talking about how the correct and healthy approach to looking at this entire avoda of Ayaka was really alluded to in the words that we say in davening in every single Shemoneh Esrei, where we're speaking about people who have a tremendous bitachon. We're outsiders to all of these wonderful things. The most wonderful thing is bitachon. We're asking to be like these people who have bitachon. But then we say, but we'll never ever give up hope because we have tremendous bitachon. And that's what we're talking about. The approach to this entire avodah, the bechlal, all of avodas Hashem, especially this that we're learning right now, we're going to continue with it in this parak, is to begin with one's avodah by knowing that I have bitachon. The same way that a Jew has to know that he has emunah. Emunah is not something that is outside of us. The approach that many people have in talking about emunah and teaching emunah is, for instance, bringing proofs from the outside, the historical or psychological or philosophical or scientific proofs, to prove the truth of Maimon HaSinai and of Bereishis and so on. In Pnimius HaTorah, the Mahalach is entirely different, and it's very, very clear that Emunah is not something that is outside of us. Bitachon is not something that's outside of us. All of our avodas Hashem is simply building upon that which we have already within us. So the avoda of bitachon is begins with the belief of lolom lo nevosh kivucha batachna. I trust in you, but I have to strengthen, I have to develop, that I have to work on that, and so on and so forth. But I have that within me. That's who I am, because that's the essence of who I am. And all of mitzvahs are in order to develop the person that I am. But if you don't believe in that internal reality of, the answer to the question of Ayaka, who are you? And if you don't believe in who you are, then all of the rest of the things that you're going to do are could be something that you feel is completely outside of you. It's not you. It's not the mitzvahs, like a person will say, they don't speak to me, this doesn't speak to me. But every mitzvah speaks to you if you know who you are. If you don't know who you are, then the mitzvahs don't speak to you. But if you know who you are, then they speak to you. And the point of all Torah mitzvahs is to bring out and to develop that I, the person who you are. So on page Ayin Gimel, B'muvan zeh ha-Torah nosenes lanu heines ha-gvulus v'heines ha-chofesh. So when a person is thinking along these ways that we just spoke about, so then Yiddishkeit is not something which imprisons him. That all of the mitzvahs and all of the mitzvahs asay and the mitzvahs lois asay, they're not imprisoning him. It's just the opposite. It gives them a feeling of tremendous chofesh when he believes that this is developing who he is and is speaking to him. Then it gives him a sense of tremendous chofesh. These are things that help him to become who he wants to. If an athlete is training, so his goal in life, he feels that he has the kaiches to win a gold medal, and he's training very hard to win a gold medal. So, in order for him to do that, there are many changes that he has to make in his life, about how many hours that he sleeps and what he eats, and how much exercise he gets. And it's a whole program in order for him to be able to get to the goal that he wants to. But he feels that every single moment that he's not indulging in certain foods, that he's not out partying, even though he would like to party, and he enjoys partying, and all the years growing up, he was always running around and partying. But now, he has this strong belief that his tachlis in life is to win the gold medal. That's who he is. He's an athlete. He defines himself as an athlete. It's just a marshal, of course. It's silly, but he defines himself as an athlete. And because of that, the fact that the rest of his friends are going out to drink and party that night, and he has some big competition the next day, and he has to go to sleep at 10 o'clock, he doesn't see that as something which is taking away his freedom. He doesn't see it as something that's suffocating him. Just the opposite. He's grateful that he has a regimen, that he has a program that was given to him by the doctors, by the nutritionist, by his trainer, that's helping him to reach the goal that he wants to reach and to become the person he wants to become, which is a guy that, you know, gets up when they sing the national anthem for a gold medal or something. And that's who he is. And he feels grateful that he has, that he's on this program. This program frees him up to become the person that he wants. It'd be some other guy, one of his friends, that's not, you know, that he can't go out for a drink that night and he's got to get to bed, you know, at a regular time, and he can't do all that stuff. So he would feel that ain't no chofesh, that he's suffocating, that something is being imposed upon him that's foreign to who he is. So it's a whole different way of looking at Yiddishkeit, a whole different way of looking at mitzvahs. But unless a person is introduced to his or her neshama, it's very hard. If you don't feel a connection to, if you don't believe that that's who you are, and you don't feel a connection to that essence of who you are, then Yiddishkeit is, just telling you don't go to the party. You feel like you want to be at the party. And then Yiddishkeit says, no, there's no party. And you can't go to the party. But I want to go to the party. You can't go to the party. And then you get into that whole tug of war. He mishachreres osanu. Just the opposite. Torah mitzvahs frees a person. Mishachreres osanu. You call masha mishabed as ruchenu be'emes. From all that's really Meshabed our ruach, that's really imprisoning who we are. Kach hatar mekavenes ha'isanu, ketzad nolid es ha'or ha'gadol shavanu lo'or olam. Therefore the Torah directs us and guides us in how to bring forth into our lives that great light, that or gadol that's within us. To bring it out, lo'or olam. To bring it out and to actualize it in our lives. Ketzad notzi el ha'poel, it teaches us and guides us how to bring out into reality that wondrous essence, that atzmius hamuflo, that ani, how to bring that out, which is kayemes bonu. It's already there. How do I bring out my bitachon? Not how do I create bitachon. So comes Muhammad and you're frightened and you're nervous about this, or we had a few years ago that people were sick and you get nervous, you're frightened. So you think that you don't have bitachon. You feel like I'm a nobody, I'm a weakling, I don't have any bitachon. How do I get bitachon? Where do you go for a bitachon shot? Where do I go for a bitachon shir? How do I get, what am I going to do? That's not true. You have bitachon because you're a yid. And as a yid, you have a nefesh, a chelok kamimal, a nefesh kis, and you have a muna, bakash baruch hu, and you believe that Hashem baruch runs the world. The problem is that you haven't been exercising that, you haven't been working out, you haven't been training. You have to work it. You have to work on it. You have to train. Doesn't mean you have to create it. It's a different mindset. Doesn't mean you don't have it. You don't have to. Doesn't mean you have to acquire it. Like sometimes you'll see in some books, or even some svarim, you know, about getting something. It's not part. It's not true. It's part. It's who you are. It's who you are. But it's a matter of working and training and developing. Of course, you have to think about. And many people who haven't thought about bitachon their entire lives, because life was just going along in a very simple way. So when it came to a few years ago, when it came to COVID, so that for the first time in their lives, that people were not particularly focused on the midah of bitachon, and all of a sudden, you know, they were terrified. They didn't know what to do, and they couldn't leave the house, and they couldn't, they slept with their mask on, and they drove in Montana in the mountains with their mask on. There's still some people that do that, by the way. So every now and then, I see somebody like that. So the first time in your life, you're not so positive that you're going to wake up the next morning. Things are looking a little bit scary, so you fall apart, and that's it. You're finished. So it doesn't mean you don't have bitachon. It means you never worked out. You just didn't work on it. And you, of course, you have to work on it. So you need chizik. So learn shar bitachon. Learn and work on it, and think about it, and daven for it. get into the program. So it means it doesn't just happen. You have to work on it. But all of Torah mitzvahs, every single mitzvah, every single tefillah, every single word of Torah is all to draw out from out within ourselves that essence of a Jew. L'chein ha-zoya kodesh kar le-mitzvahs b'loshen miyuchedes ma'od eaten. We've spoken about this many times over the years. You can look on the bottom from the language of the Zohar Kodesh. You can go where it says the Targum, we could read it straight in the Hebrew. Translated from the Aramaic, where it says v'targumai, three lines down on the bottom. Azhor la'odom, erlam azay yesh b'psukim halalu v'kam ha'etzis toivis ha'yonis ha'mechol divrei Torah. The Zohar Kodesh calls divrei Torah, all that we learn and all the mitzvahs that we keep are called eaten. Eaten means etzis. Advice. Every mitzvah is advice from Hashem. And the Chachamim who learn and understand Pnimis HaTorah, those Chachamim know how every single mitzvah is an advice from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of how to connect to Him, of how to come to that person who you're supposed to be. Eaten, back on top, Eaten Perusho Baramis is the Aramaic of Eitzis. Ha-mitzvahs hain kivyochel eitzis toivus l'chaim toivim. Chaim toivim doesn't mean easy life. That doesn't mean that it's easy. But it means chaim toivim, means the life that you're supposed to live. And the mitzvahs are eitzis. The mitzvahs are a plan, a mahalach, of chaim toivim, of a good life. A good life, meaning a life that's the way it's supposed to be, a meaningful life. Hein mekavnei seisanu, the mitzvahs give us that direction. Avabemes anu moitziyim al yodan lepoel es hazehus ha'amitis shelanu. And on a deeper level, the mitzvahs are bringing out into lemitzias the true zehus, the true identity of who we are. Now the fact that we see that oftentimes it doesn't work is that we were learning about this morning in the Chassidus Shiur. Beyond the kach. The fact that it doesn't work means that you're not doing it the right way. And not doing it the right way, we were talking about this morning, was that if you're not working on your midas, if you're not working on your basic midas, so then, and many, there are other reasons as well, that how come Yiddishkeit's not working for this person? How come the Yiddishkeit's not helping you? Many people that are keeping mitzvahs, they're putting on tefillin every day, they daven every day, they keep Shabbos, and they're not have those shaykes at all to that zehut, to that inner identity, is because they're keeping the mitzvahs without working on the mitzvahs, and they're keeping the mitzvahs mindlessly without learning the Torah on a deeper level and to understand how is this mitzvah an eitzah, so what does this mitzvah do, and to try to understand what does it mean nefesh, ruach, neshama, and to come to be a bigger person. Otherwise, we learned, as we were talking about this morning earlier, that the mitzvahs can make you into a smaller person. The Torah can make you into a small person. When a person succeeds and is able to reveal that atzmius of who he is, bepoil, lemaisa, bezus hamitzvus, through everything that he does and through keeping mitzvus, who yispale lirois kama oiris atzumim gnuzimbo. He'll be amazed to see all of the kaiches that he has within himself that he never knew that he had inside of him. He never realized how much there was inside of him. He never saw how great he was. He'll begin to recognize, to realize that he has a neshama. She chelakel kamimal. You always feel that a person feels that always when you do something, even though you didn't feel like doing it to begin with, but you do something that's really good. You do something to help somebody, do something really, really nice. So that feeling that you have, even though you didn't want to do it, and it was a bother, and you didn't have time, but Sof Maisi ended up doing something to help a person, and you were good and you were kind. So then you feel a little bit of the aura of the neshama at that moment. That aura, that feeling that you have is an aura of the neshama. The neshama is saying that you did something to draw me out. I'm here, you know, and work with this. Here's a piece of who you are. because you really want to be good. See, even people who are doing terrible, terrible things, but they don't feel good about it. They might enjoy it because they're Balei Taiva, but they don't feel good about it. But they do something that's good. So they feel an R. Even somebody Lahavdil that's not Jewish feels, even from the simplest nefesh, on the level of nefesh, a person feels something that's come from a place that's within him. And that's an aura that somebody, you feel a certain aura. When you do something that is bringing out the person who you are. So you can spend your whole day doing things that are not who you are, and you don't feel anything. And you spend 5 minutes helping somebody, and you feel alive. 5 minutes doing something, or when you're learning, or you're doing something that you should be doing, and you feel that aura. Because you begin to see more and more. There's a chelik l'kamimal. And through the mitzvahs, through these eights that Hashem gave us to bring out, to draw out from, to draw out the neshama, you begin to feel more and more of that connection. The truth is that you might be a very spiritual person, and you might feel very connected to something, you know, bigger than yourself. But the truth of the matter is that it's not possible for a Jew to be megalis neshama, to draw out the neshama, without following Hashem's guidelines, without this advice. So you could be very spiritual, and you turn off the lights and you sing kolom kolom geshet zarm out, and you play the guitar and you cry and you're all into it. It could be just a lot of, it's very, very sweet, but it's demyonis. And that's not going to necessarily bring you to the bechlal, to the same person that's crying by the kumsitz. Could 2 hours later, an hour later, he could be doing the biggest averus in the world. He could do the most horrible thing to another person. You were just saying, higher, Lord, get me higher, and then an hour later, you're getting higher with something else, not with a niggun. Doesn't mean a ki huzeh, because that's not the way to draw out the atzmius. That's something that a niggun is gewaldig. A kumzis is a gewaldig thing, and being with chaverim and fabringing, it's all gewaldig. But it's only in the context of Torah Mitzvahs. If it's not, then it's mostly demyonis. A person is a spiritual person, but it doesn't mean that he's going to be a better husband or a better wife or a better parent or a better child or stam, be kinder. It doesn't mean you're going to be any further, not one centimeter further away from Averis. In many ways, it could even bring you closer to doing Averis. Because that's what we learn. It could be a samis. It could bring you further away from the truth. It could be just a total delusion. With all the spirituality and all the ruchnis and the nigunim, it doesn't make the slightest bit of a difference in who you are. There was a famous American author. I don't want to mention the name right now, because not Jewish, but a famous American author, and he was writing in one of his novels. I remember I read as a kid what was going on in the basement of the church on Sunday morning after they davened. What was going on after the davening? Wasn't the kiddush crazy stuff with the galach? With the high priest in the basement, and people divide themselves into two. Doesn't mean ki hu zeh. The fact that you're saying all kinds of psalms and hymns or whatever they're doing over there, and they're singing and that their eyes closed and they're praying. Not only did it not keep them away from the averus in the basement, but it sent them deeper into the basement. Doesn't change you. The ruchnius without following Hashem's aces does not work. Ruchnius without Torah Mitzvahs doesn't work. That's what he's saying. Keep emes. E'ef shel adam legalis is nishmoso. You're not really being. The fact that you feel something by the niggun, you are touching something there, because a niggun is a very deep thing, and the soul can reach into a deep place. But unless that's together with the aces that Hashem gave, lo pulos shadoilos aysim yamakim, you can't pull yourself out from the mamakim, from the depths. You can't. It can be compared to a person who has some musical talent. But if you don't practice, it could be you have some natural musical talent, but you're not going to become any great musician unless you practice, unless you work out. So the fact that you have this tremendous musical inclination doesn't mean that you're going to be anything as a musician. So a Jew, each and every one of us is wired to be tzaddikim and tzadkanis. We have inside of us big, 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 big tzaddikim. But if you don't practice, it doesn't happen. And Hashem as well gave us the schedule. These are the things you have to do. These are the things you have to do. So if you think you're gonna lie in bed at 10 o'clock on a Shabbos morning, I'm not talking about the girl, you should just stay in bed. Relax. But if you think that if you think I mean, you also have to doubt, but you don't have to get up so early. But if you're a guy and you think that you can lie in bed at 10 o'clock and you're gonna say, Moda Ani Lefanecha, Kumbaya, my Lord, and you're gonna tell over a story from Rabbi Levi Yitzchak and Baditchev, and then you're gonna end up being a better Jew, or even a better person, or better anything. It's all demyanis. It's all demyanis because this on the schedule, on Hashem's schedule, it says Shabbos morning, go to mikveh if you can, go to daven. Davening starts wherever you are. It starts at 8:30. If you're Lubavitcher, it starts at 9:30, 10. But that's because the real Lubavitchers are learning Chassidus for a few hours. It doesn't mean they're in bed. The Chassidim are learning. Follow the program, and your Rebbe gave you that program. Your Tzaddikim gave you that program. Then if that's what you are, that's who you are. You're a Chabad Chassid, and the Tzaddik gave you the program to learn Chassidus for a few hours before. Then you stay with the Tzaddik. That's your program. But you have a program. It's not hefker. It's not hefker. It's not walking into shul with a coffee half hour after davening. That's not the program. So you're very spiritual, and you close your eyes when you drink your coffee. You know, people do that too. I don't know, it's like a spiritual Indian. You close your eyes. So you close your eyes and you drink your coffee and you say in Ashrei a half hour later, take your coffee and go outside and drink and go to Starbucks and sit with the other bums that have nothing to do with their lives. So what is that? That's not ruchnius. That's all dimyonis. So you could allow little children to get away with things, but you're an adult. You have a program. And Hashem Zohar said, this is the program. And if you don't know what the program is, you open up the first page of Shulchan Aruch, open up the Mishnah Berurah, and start to learn. This is the program. From the beginning of the day to the end of the day, this is the program. And Hashem says, you follow this program and think about the program. And work on your midas, because that's not in the Mishnah Berurah. Work on your, learn Mesil Shisharm, good. Learn Chavis Avavis, good. Learn Tanya, good. Learn Nef Shechaim, good. Work on yourself, keep the mitzvahs, and then the tzaddik inside becomes a tzaddik. That's all. It's easy, no? Then the tzaddik becomes a tzaddik. The tzaddik inside becomes a tzaddik. That's the program. There's a program. People are trying so hard to like skip things on there. On the schedule, it doesn't work. And the same thing, like you're saying, emotional. If you're a musician, so if you're a musician and you skip this practice, you skip that practice, you're not gonna end up playing in the Philharmonic. It's just not gonna happen. It doesn't work like that. Even though you're the biggest musician, you have the biggest musical talent. You're a much bigger musician than all the rest of the chevra that are playing over there. Doesn't make a difference. You're gonna end up on someplace on a street corner, you know, collecting quarters in your guitar case. So what? Listen, you're a great musician. So all of us are great tzaddikim, mamish. Great tzaddikim. Great tzaddikim. Each one of us is a Chavetz Chaim, is a Baba Sali. Each one of us is a great tzaddik. But you got to work out. You have to practice. You have to follow the Eitzes. You have to follow the Eitzes. Hashem says these are the Eitzes. And if you need more of a custom designed, personalized program, talk to the Mashgiach, talk to the tzaddik, whatever. But so you need something to. So that you're drawn, Hashem, even Hashem is so kind to us, he even draws us to those tzaddikim. He draws us to certain svarim that speak. Each one of us is drawn towards a certain mahalach. Because in Yiddishkeit, there are different things that work better for different people. If Musa works for you, then he draws you, and you learn the Musa svarim. If Chassidus, if whatever it is in your other learning, that Hashem is Baruch is giving you eitzes. He's gave us so many eitzes. Every sefer, everything that Hashem gave us, so many eitzes to help us. Eitzes, mamish, to help us. And you have to be honest with yourself which eitzes are working for you. And strengthen your connection to those eitzes, and don't let anybody tell you that that's not good for you. If it's a tzaddik and you connect it to that tzaddik and you connect it to those eitzes, then that's your mahalach. And you live with that mahalach, and that mahalach will make you into a tzaddik. If you follow the advice and you stick to all what they told you, you stick to the, it'll make you into a tzaddik. Guaranteed. Ha'adam nidrash l'pulos targul, a person a person must engage in pulos to exercises, continuous exercises, ad sheyasliach lemamesh es hakisharon shelo, until he's able to bring out. So whether it's the athlete or the musician or the artist, you have to continuously repeat and to continuously do those things, and until that talent is able to be drawn completely out. Zumash mus on shel mitzvah satayr. This is the inyan of mitzvahs. Shenitnu lano, Hashem gave us the mitzvahs latoiv lano kol hayomim. The mitzvahs are for our good, not to torture us, not to make us, not to imprison us, but latoiv lano kol hayomim. The chayosenu kayim azek, to give us chiyus, to give us life. The mitzvahs are latoiv lano kol hayom. Hashem is giving the best advice in the world. Latoiv lano kol hayom lechayosenu kayim azek. And that's the most important thing, to be able to be successful in giving that over to our children in our homes and in the schools, to give that over, that the Yiddishkeit is l'toiv lanu. A person, naturally, a child wants toiv. Everybody wants toiv. Everybody wants it should be good. But to be able to educate our children and ourselves that the greatest good is kivus l'kim li toiv, is dveikus b'Hashem. And therefore, mitzvahs are l'toiv lanu. These are l'toiv lanu kol hayom. The trainer that's working out with the athlete is getting tired, and the trainer tells him over and over again, you understand, this is for your good. If you're not going to slack off, if you're not going to work out, then you're not going to get what you want to get in life. You're not going to be the person that you want to be. So the education, the chinuch of a child is in seichel, to understand what is the tachlis of the life of a Jew, and the mitzvahs are l'toiv lanu to get to that point that we want to get to. If you don't have a destination of where you want to go, you don't have a tachlis of what this is all about, and you don't understand what you're doing, then the mitzvahs, what's the point of all of these things? It's not taking. I want to get to the party, and davening is keeping me from the party. So then you're living in a life of contradictions. But the tachlis is the toiv lanu kol hayom l'chayis nekayim hazeh. Hashem nos lanu was a Torah, b'nei shu toiv. Hashem as well gave us the Torah because shu toiv. Hashem is good, v'atayra toiv, and the Torah is good, v'nachnu toiv. It's a perfect shidduch. Hashem is tov, the Torah is tov, and each and every one of us is tov. That's the whole thing. Hashem is good, the Torah is good, and we are good. And when you put these three together, poof, you have a tzaddik. Now, Torah includes, like we're learning this morning, avodah of midas, and so on, the whole program. Va'idei zen nizket liros betuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. And if we bring these three toves together, Hashem, the Torah and ourselves, will be zarcha liros betuv Hashem be'eretz chayim, to the greatest tov that's possible. Page Ayin Dalet. L'maisa. Kol tchuna v'kol kisharon matzvichim ma'amatz v'amal k'dei she'yetzu l'apol. Every single tchuna that a person has that's good, every talent that a person has, every characteristic that a person has, requires ma'amatz, which requires a tremendous effort and hard work, k'dei she'yetzu l'apol, to bring out. Rak ha'metzias ha'tivis ha'gufanis. Only when it comes to our physical nature, when it comes to the physical part of our lives, you naturally, if you're healthy and Hashem's help and everything's okay, you'll grow. That was you're little, you're a kid, you'll grow. You don't have to work on that. As long as you're healthy and you're everything's okay, that the goof has its own. Hashem made the teva of the goof, that the goof, as long as it's maintained, the goof will move along. Lo amo shel ha'adam doesn't require, again, to be, you have to also be exercised and be healthy, but the goof has its teva, and it goes on its teva. Al kol ha'kaimus ha'bo'ol shel ha'ishius, however, when it comes to all the deeper levels of who a person is, matzvichas amo u'mamas, there's a tremendous effort that's required. You don't have to work hard to get taller. You get taller when you're a little kid, you're little, and then you grow. You don't have to work at that when it comes to these things. You don't have a Eitzahar not to work at it. But when it comes to the deeper level, the deeper layers of who we are, Matshichos Amol Mamatz Kedei Lizpateach Lizmamesh, in order to develop and to bring it out into reality. Yes, okay. Kechol Shemeduba Bekishvan Gol Yoyzer. In addition to this, the greater the talent is, the greater the koyach is, uberevid miyuchad va'amok, and the deeper that koach is, kein hudarish oma umamatz merubim yoseh, the more effort is required to develop and to bring it out. B'muvan hazeh, ha-nefesh, ha-ruach v'ha-neshama, the nefesh, the ruach and the neshama, hina adiros ad ma'od. Our adiros are very, very, very strong, very powerful. The nefesh, ruach, and neshama of a Jew are very powerful. Aros muflam, they're wondrous lights inside each and every one of us. Chelik elokam yimal. It's a chelik of Hashem himself that each Jew carries within him. Al kain, hotza'osan la'olam, therefore, to bring out these very, very deep, to bring out that hadasihi ester, you know, that which is hidden inside, to bring it out in your life, hotza'osan la'olam, pituchan v'hofa'osan, to develop and to bring them out, darshos amal meruba. Require a tremendous amount of work. You might think, well, if this is who I am, it should come to me in a very easy way. It should be relatively easy. But that's not how Hashem's Baruch made the world. Hashem's Baruch made in the Avodah is just the opposite. That the deepest part of it oneself is the hardest to bring out. And here's where a little bit the mashal of the music ends. When we're talking about a chelok of kamim mal mamish. In order to bring it out, and to bring yourself to be that tzaddik that you want to be, that you're hoping to be, it requires a tremendous, tremendous amount of work. And it's true in the mashal also that you might know that you have musical talent, but music and art; those are talents, but they're not as anywhere. They can't be compared. The mashal ends because it can't be compared to the talent of a neshama, of a nishmas Yisrael. Of what the Chavetz Chaim was, of what the Baal Shem Tov was. That's not, now here we're not talking about being a good musician. We're talking about something else altogether. And for that, a person has to reach deep, 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 deep inside of oneself. And to work over and hard and throughout one's life to bring out. It requires amal meruba. B'muvan zeh, ha-tev v'ha-mitzvah mekavnos l'hachshir es adam l'mameshes atzmius ha-shleima. And in this way, Torah mitzvahs are what Hashem Yisbach gave us to prepare us to be able to bring out that atzmius, that full atzmius, the essence. This is very, very powerful. Im nechadeid es hadvarim nomar, to sharpen this a little bit, we would say, shakol limud miktzor, anytime a person learns a trade or a profession, that trains the person and prepares him to be able to be whatever it is, a dentist or an accountant, whatever it is, that prepares you. If a person is studying to be a doctor, it's a very demanding path. It takes many years. I had this very sweet Chassidish friend of mine that stopped by from Yerushalayim yesterday. He's a real Yerushalmi Chassidish. And over the years, he's been, you know, every time I see him, we talk about his kids. So he was telling me, so this is one of his kids that he's been talking about, has been going through all kinds of things. And he's a very bright boy, but he's had a lot of challenges. And yesterday, his father told me, the boy's father told me, that I asked him, how's he doing with how's Ephraim doing? So the father told me, he became a doctor. So I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Last time I saw you, how did he become a doctor? How did he do that? We're talking about 6 months. Like how did that? So he became a certain kind of a doctor, a healer. Because you know you can't become a doctor in 6 months. You have to, but to become a healer, you could probably do it in 6 hours. So you know, he became some kind of a, he's hooking up with, you know, with Chinese and Japanese with needles and stuff. So, okay, I'm not saying I don't believe in that stuff. It happens that I think it's a very hush of a thing. All the acupuncture, I think there's a lot to it. It's a big chokhmah that Hashem brought into the world. There's a name. But he didn't say he's doing acupuncture. The father said, he told me, we're rofei. I said, ma, echse rofei. I said, 6 months ago, you were trying to drag him out of the bar in Ben Yehuda. When did he go to medical school? Where did he go to medical school? What's going on? Now, and I'm going to make sure that none of my kids go to him in Yerushalayim. So he said, so then we got into the needles, you know. So I said, okay, talk about it. You know, hit someone with a needle, that's okay, as long as he's not operating. You know? You want to be a doctor, you know, it's hard work. You have to work at that. If you want to be good at anything. So you have to work hard at it. And it prepares you to be able to do that. It takes many years. Nevertheless, it's talking about a particular profession, a specific type of work, and limudei refuah machshir mes adam b'tchum harefuah. And if you work hard at it and you're capable, you spend the time, you'll be a good doctor. As Hashem, you'll be a good doctor. And you'll be able to help a lot of people. That doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to be a good father, a good husband, or a good Jew. But you worked at that. That's your music, medicine. You worked at that. You worked hard at it, and you could help a lot of people. But that's a specific thing. It's machshir mesa'adam b'tchum harefuah. Lumazos. Now here's where Mitzvah's Torah Mitzvah is different. Because now we're not talking about a particular specific profession. We're talking about who you are. Lumazos. Mitzvah's Torah v'limuda ena mekavnos lefatech tchum mesuyam. Torah Mitzvah is not some sort of a training program to develop a particular skill or a particular profession. Like you're preparing to be a soldier or to be a doctor or to be a lawyer. It's not a particular skill where there's a program and you follow the program and you pass your test and you do some field work or laboratory, whatever it is, and you're ready. That's not it. We're not talking about tchuna pratis. It's not a particular characteristic or bektsoa nekudasi or a specific profession. You know, nowadays you can have a doctor. His whole degree is in, like, you know, whatever, healing the tip of the nose or something. That's I don't know what they call it, a typologist or something. And this that's all he does. He's not. You ask him, what about the rest of my nose? He said, No. You'll have to go to a nose doctor. I only work on the tip of the nose because everything's becoming more and more specialized, right? So we used to go to the doctor. And when I was growing up, we had this one doctor. It was a Hungarian guy, and his name was actually Dr. Flesh. It's a scary name for a doctor, but I remember him very well. He hardly spoke English. It was mostly Hungarian and Yiddish, but my parents felt comfortable with him. And you know, he was like, no matter what was bothering you, you went to Dr. Flesh. It didn't make a difference. My father refused to go to any other doctor to take the kids. That's the doctor. Like, that was how it was in the old country, the doctor. But now you go to any doctor, and he looks at you, and he says, that'll be, you know, $500 for 10 minutes, but I can't help you. So you have to go to the other guy. The other guy, he's in charge of that part of your body. But you're a doctor. That's not my part. But they told me that it's only part of that part. I do the other part. This guy's this part. You know, he's like on the left side of the brain. I'm a right side guy. He's a left side guy. You go to this guy. So it's becoming much more specialized than it used to be. But when it comes to training to be a Jew, it's a much different situation. It's very different. Hey, Mekavnas, lachdei la'atzmi yisar mleya shel odam. The aitzis of Torah Mitzvahs is an aitzis of the atzmi yisar mleya shel odam. It's to be able to answer the question that Hashem is asking you, ayaka. And the answer to ayaka is not that I specialize in the I'm a dentist, I work on this side of the mouth. That's not the answer to ayaka. Who are you? Who are you? Why do you live? What's the point of your life? Why do you exist? Lord, see El Apollo, and to bring out who you are, to bring out into the world. Latzmiach has klolus adam. Latzmiach has klolus adam. The ganze mensch, the whole person. Zo sha'omer ha'tayra u'shmatim mitzvayseh v'asisim ha'isam. You should keep the Torah and va'asisim osam. So it's a strange lashon in the pasuk that it says shmartem mitzvosai va'asisim osam, and you should do them. Could have just said shmartem mitzvosai. What's va'asisim osam? What is it adding by saying va'asisim osam? It already says shmartem mitzvosai. What's it adding? Va'asisim osam. The Dorshim Chacham, so Chazal say, Atilkri va'asisim, Ella va'asisim atem. Not Atilkri va'asisim oisam, Ella va'asisim atem. It's a very deep Chazal. Chazal say that what the end of the pasuk is adding, first it says, Ushmatim mitzvaysai. That means keep the mitzvahs, which means do everything you're supposed to do. And if you do this properly and you follow the program, then va'asisim atem. Then you will make yourselves. Al tikri oisam el atem. Kivyochal atem oisim is atzmechem. Atem oisim is atzmechem. This is the recipe of how to make yourselves. Vasisim atem. Kivyochal atem oisim is atzmechem. Haide shmiras amitzvos. Thu shmiras amitzvos. And we have to always daven for that. They always ask Hashem Baruch and His Baidus and in your tefillas that Hashem Baruch help me that through my putting on tefillin, through my keeping Shabbos, through my saying brachas, help me. I'm asking you, I'm begging you to help that this should bring out for me the chelik elokah that's within me. If the daven so hard for that, and there's a lot of things we have in tefillin. That's all David Mach spoke about that all the time. And all of our davening is filled with that. But to add and His Baidus to Baruch Hu to help me find myself through these aches that you gave me, that you gave me all these beautiful aches, and you led me on a path of keeping your Torah, but I don't know how this is making me closer to you. I don't understand how this is bringing me. I'm asking you that these mitzvahs should bring me closer to you. I'm asking that these mitzvahs should help me to find myself and who I am, and to help me understand why you created me and what I could do in this world and what's the purpose of my existence. And to daven for that. Zuya pula amuka v'amakifa b'yoyse hamashpia aklal muhusa adam uchol ravadei chayav. This is what is needed that encompasses a person's entire life. And it's hashpa and the whole muhus of a person. The muhus of a person. So you'll have many parents that were not raised with as intense learning, intense, you know, Yiddishkeit. So they want the kids to go to yeshiva, and in the yeshiva they should, like, you know, have some Yiddishkeit, but not to get too caught up in it that when high school ends that they won't go to Harvard and to maybe take some classes with the president, what's his name, Gray? Gay, yeah. So, Gray. So, to take some classes and to major in Middle Eastern studies and, you know, in Columbia or something, they want their kids to get a head start. So they're afraid that they might send the kid to yeshiva a year after after high school, or if in high school there's too much Torah in high school and not enough secular, all of these bring into question what do you see as being the ikker, the main training that your child is supposed to have at this time in his life. I'm not saying that there shouldn't be, you shouldn't prepare him for school and for college, whatever. That's not the point. The point is, if the Torah part of the day is not the most important part of the day, it might be that you're working. You're trying to prepare your kid to prepare for a certain profession and to get him to a certain amount of money. This way you're not going to have to pay for his bills, and you want to train him for a certain thing. That's fine. But then as far as who this person is, he could have no shaychus thing. If he's not going to be learning Torah, he's not going to be serious about his Yiddishkeit, so then he'll be another, you know, unhappy professional. That could be working day in, day out, but doesn't feel that this is the tachlis of his life. What am I doing? Not that there's anything wrong with working day in, day out. That's fine. But if you're working on making money and you're working on supporting a family, but you haven't worked on answering the question of Ayaka, so then what do you have from all of the money that you made, and what do you have from all of the training that you got in your profession if you didn't train as a human being, as a Jew? You don't have that. So then what do you have? So that's what it means, Vasisem Atem. Atem, Hashem gave us a way, vasisim atem, to make ourselves. And that's the most important thing. And a parent has to ask, when you're sending a kid to school and you're raising a kid, what is it that we have to do as parents to train this child for life? And how do you identify that? What do you mean by training this kid for life? And if you mean by that is that where am I going to send the kid to school where there's the greatest chance of my kid ending up in an anti-Semitic Ivy League school? Because I'm wondering if Jews are still going to be sending to these places. I hate to be pessimistic because I'm not by nature pessimist. I would still bet on most Jews still fighting to get their kids into these disgusting places. There's no other way to describe them. I wonder what it's going to be. They don't want to have Jews there, but Jews are going to be begging them. And somebody asked me a shayla last week about applying to one of these schools. So he wanted to know. He was allowed to lie on his essay because you have to write essays now that fit very much with the narrative. The narrative is of diversity, equity. You know. So you have to please the guy in the DEI office over there in NYU. You have to make him or her happy that you're some mindless amoeba like he is or she is. So you have to make that person happy. So you wanted to know this bacha is a very fine bacha. He's an elicha bacha, and you want to know: am I allowed to like write this whole lie, make up a whole story and to make lies and like that? So it's a good question. So I said to him, why don't you go to Turo or something? I thought, why you? Then you don't have to. Then you don't have to make up a whole story. You could tell him that you're just a regular racist or something. Why do you have to make up a whole maisa here? Vayhi b'machashverosh. So he told me that he's a very smart guy. I know the answer. He's a very smart guy, and his parents, since he could talk, are putting you're going to go to, and they're putting pressure on him since he's a kid. And this kid had to fight to just go. He got 1 year in yeshiva, and then it was with fighting and arguing with his parents, and then they made him sign a whole thing that he's not going to ask for a second year, and it was a whole to do, and it was crazy. Because they had him on the program to go to the Ivy League school. Now, the time has gone for him to lie in his application and to make up a story, some kind of a woke story about what he wants, why he wants to go to this school or something. He asked you a question: why do you want to go? So I could be able to protest and some rally to free Palestine. That's why I want to go to this school. That's why I want to go to Harvard, so I could free Palestine. It's crazy. So you're raising this kid. And you want this kid, all you want from this kid is this kid should be successful. But how do you define success? What does it mean, successful? I've met people in my life, I know Jews, that in business they're very, very unsuccessful. And when it came to Parnassah, they sometimes even needed help from family and friends. But in Pnimis, they're the most successful people in the world. The finest people in the world, the best parents, the best Jews in the world. Parnassah, it doesn't always go. So the inyanim of mazel with that, and what that means, the whole business of parnasa. But who would you want your kid to be like? Who do you want your kid to grow up like? Who do you admire? How do you imagine your child? What would you like your child to look like 20 years from now? These are serious questions. And it's not questions when the kid's already in 10th grade. These are questions from when the kid's in kindergarten. What do you want? What's the tachlis? What do you want to train this kid? How do you want to train this kid? Because it's up to you, the parents. You have in the world there are people that they begin with their kids when it comes to music or sports. They begin with them like in second grade, third grade, to take some little kid and to work him to become a great athlete, because that'll be his way out of poverty. And I don't blame them, but that's the way out of poverty. How do we want our children to get out of poverty? But not poverty of money. But how do you get out of poverty of impoverishment of the soul, of who you are? Impoverishment. How do you get out of impoverishment? So are you raising your kid to be a rich Jew? To be a wealthy Jew, a rich Jew, with money, or a wealthy Jew? With ruchnius. It doesn't mean it's a contradiction. It doesn't mean you can't also send your kid and direct your kid to be a good student and to get a profession. I'm not from that Mahalach. The kid should have a, should work hard in everything that he does, but don't ignore his neshama. Where do you take the kid on vacation? So you send the kid to yeshiva, and but then you take him on vacation to a place. You take him Pesach. He goes into a place where it's like being in the Memtesh Shari Tumba of Mitzrayim. You know. So what are you doing? How are you raising your child? What are you training the child to become? A tzaddik or a rich Jew? What kind of wealth? What are you training? Again, you could do both. It's not so easy to pull off, but you have to work hard at it. You can do both. Not that it's important to be rich as shliach, but to be able to be an ish mashliach, that's good. To be an ish mashliach. But what is it that's the ikka that you want of this child? What is it the ikka? My father, Zichron Levracha, told me how from the time that he was a little boy, he still remembers. He remembered a maisa from over 90 years earlier, that he remembers when he was little. His mother, when he was not just saying Kriya Shema, that my grandmother would come in the middle of the night to his bed when he was sleeping, and he remembers her saying Tilim by his bed and crying and saying her own tefillahs that he should be an Eilech Yid, you know, to help him be an Eilech Yid, an Eilech Yid. My father said that he was a little boy and he would hear his mother crying in the middle of the night, and there was nothing wrong with him, he was healthy. And he remembers hearing this is how he was growing up, that she was crying, that she would say her tefillahs about that he should be an Eilech Yid and to keep him from anything bad, he shouldn't see bad things and bad people shouldn't talk to him and he should be an Eilech Yid. That's how he said it. He was a little boy, that's what he heard. And he carried with that his whole life, he took that with him. That was the thing in his head from the time that he was a little kid. And he said that took him through everything in his life, his mother crying. How do the mothers light candles? My mother told Gazon, she should be well. I remember the way my mother light candles, it was a half hour. I'm not exaggerating. Sometimes more. She lit very early. But the bechias, when she was lighting candles, the crying. And my mother never went to any yeshiva in her life, you understand? She never went to any. She never went to any summer camp either. She only went to camps. She didn't go to summer camp, and she never went to yeshiva in her life. She didn't know how to read because when she was little, they taught her how to read. But she didn't know. She never went to yeshiva. It was, what yeshiva? What Beis Yaakov? She went to school, not Teg, not TMM, nothing, not Halb, nowhere. She didn't go to any schools. She also heard her mother crying. You understand? She'd heard her mother crying. And my mother, by the candles. I remember as a little kid, I was scared that something was wrong. And then I asked her, she says, what do you think I'm davening? I'm davening for you and for your sister. That's a different kind of priority that parents have. That doesn't mean my mother, you know, my mother wanted me to go to law school. I've told the story. She wanted me very much to go to law school, and I disappointed her, you know, that I didn't go. But that was never. Even though she wanted me to go there, she was worried that I should make a living and that I should be okay, and everything would be okay. But it wasn't that. That was never. I never got the impression that was the etzem of that was. She wasn't davening by the candles that I should be a lawyer. You understand? That's not what she was davening by the candles. She wanted me to have a good profession, but she wasn't to make a living. But she wasn't by the candles. It wasn't. Please, Rabbi Shalom, help Maisha. He should be a lawyer. That wasn't the tefillahs. That's where she was davening for who I am. That's where it was a time for mother to daven, not for how much money he makes. He should be successful, but who he is. That was a training camp that she was. That's the way we were trained for thousands of years. To hear that, to see that, to be surrounded with that, and that was with the understanding that with all the other things in life, but the essence of who my child is a Jew, and that's the most important thing to me in my life, and that's the way when my parents told me what they heard growing up from their parents, and how that took them through all the things they went through in those years. with the memories of who their parents were and how their parents lived and what their parents were about. And our children are looking at us for that. And our children can pick up very, very quickly what is it we're looking for, the talented musician, the talented doctor or lawyer. Again, there's nothing wrong with that stuff. But what are they looking for? What's the essence? That we should be Elohi and good, God-fearing Jews that are kind, that are, try our best to make a Kiddush Hashem and so on. That's something that the children are looking at us for. And to think that, you know, that's something which is easy, that's not easy. That's the hardest thing in the world. It's a lot easier to push your kid, to make your kid into some wealthy person than to make your kid into a wealthy Jew. Into a person that's filled with chias, that he doesn't fall apart the second that something goes wrong in his life. He's strong, he's healthy, and so on. That's the hardest thing in the world for a parent to do. It's the hardest thing. But that's, Hashem's Baruch gave us all of Yiddishkeit as eitzes of what we could use to bring all of this out. But we have to know how to use all that Hashem's Baruch gave us in the right way and to work at it very hard. Bez Hashem, each one of us will have nachas from our children, from ourselves, and Hashem's Baruch will have nachas from his children. I'll have to get Shabbos.